Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, August 22, 2020. MISD seeks Riddick dismissal. Riddick era appears to be in jeopardy. Board cites academic achievement as the reason for termination proceedings, by Stuart Doreen. S. Doreen at HearstNP.com. The Midland ISD board on Friday took a step toward parting ways with Superintendent Orlando Riddick, ending his 3 years with the district. The announcement of the possible separation came at the end of a special meeting of the Midland ISD board on Friday afternoon. The meeting included an executive session, the second this week, for the evaluation of the superintendent. The first was Monday, when the board went into executive session for 4 hours. After meeting for almost 3.5 hours Friday, the board came back into regular session, and Board President Rick Davis then announced a special meeting is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, and that the sole agenda item will be the consideration and possible action to propose mid-contract termination of the superintendent's contract. Academic performance appears to be the reason for the move. Davis said in an email Friday evening that, a little over 3.5 years ago, the board established 3-year goals and goal progress measures for student achievement and subsequently began the search for a new superintendent. We made clear that our next superintendent would be evaluated on achievement of those goals and goal progress measures. Mr. Riddick applied, agreed to be evaluated on such metrics, and was hired. A review of those metrics for the last 3 years shows that he has not met our expectations for improving the academic performance of the district. There is a process that will take place as Riddick's contract is set to expire on June 30, 2022. According to the district, the board would first take action to propose mid-contract termination. The superintendent would then be provided written notice that includes the reasons for termination. He then has 15 days to request a hearing. From an independent hearing examiner. If he does not request a hearing, the board could then take final action at the next board meeting. The meeting was scheduled and this item placed on the agenda because the Board of Trustees takes very seriously its role to hold the superintendent accountable for the academic performance of the district, Davis wrote. Riddick was introduced as the lone finalist for the position of superintendent in May 2017. He came to Midland from Cedar Hill ISD, where he also served as the superintendent. His salary is $275,000, the same as when he was hired. During his tenure at Midland ISD, there has been a decrease and subsequent increase of failing campuses. The increase of Midland ISD staff teacher salaries, the increase of in-district charters and so-called choice schools, a failed bond campaign, the increase and subsequent decrease in teacher retirements and resignation, and most recently, the creation of the Midland ISD Online Academy. Riddick has led MISD's transformation associated with the System of Great Schools initiative. That included the district's falling short of board and teaching and learning goals set for the first few years, the creation of turning over to third parties 3 campuses, Young Women's Leadership Academy, Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Academy, and Idea Travis Academy. In the cases of Sam Houston and Travis, the changes were to prevent the state from taking over the campuses. During Riddick's tenure, Midland ISD has worked alongside the Texas Education Agency on matters including the transition of the district to an earned autonomy theory of action, with the ultimate goal of having implemented a System of Great Schools theory of action by 2027. The System of Great Schools strategy, according to the district, involves putting autonomous schools at the center of the district's change efforts and focusing on meeting the individual needs of students. About teachers' salaries, Riddick continued, the increase and accelerated the rate of the increase of teacher pay started by Ryder Warren. This year, the Midland ISD Board approved starting pay of $56,500 for teachers. In 2010, Just about the time Warren became the superintendent of Midland ISD, the average starting salary was $40,900. 6 years later, starting pay rose to $49,050. Riddick has told the board he wants the starting pay for a teacher to reach $60,000 and hourly pay for staff members to climb to a minimum of $15 an hour. Riddick started the 2020-2021 academic year having seen nearly total turnover in top leadership positions. Since arriving in Midland, Riddick has either created positions for or hired new employees for all 8 positions at the top of the district's administrative professional pay plan. They include general counsel, chief operations officer, chief financial officer, and chief academic officer, pay grade 11. The 4 other positions are considered pay grade 10 and are chief communications officer, chief human resources officer, chief of staff, and chief transformation officer. He also has hired a new chief of police and executive director of athletics, among other high-ranking positions. When asked about other accomplishments during Riddick's time with the district, MISD provided the Reporter-Telegram with the following earlier this week. Having a model PLC school, only 200 schools are awarded this designation nationwide. New record graduation rate of 92.3%. 100% of early college high school students graduated with their associate degree. Consecutive perfect scores in financial accountability from TEA. AA rating from S&P and AA2 rating from Moody's. With the board's approval in December 2019, $10.785 million of principal was paid in advance in February 2020, which saved the district $3.062 million in future interest payments. The 2014 bond series refunding resulted in net present value savings of $8.96 million, or 22.77% of the $39.345 million refunded principal. The district paid $4 million of the principal balance with refunding and saved a total of $16.576 million in future interest payments for this bond series, which is about $828,000 per year until maturity in 2040. Lowest number of resignations and retirements in 5 years. MISD Superintendents, 1907 to 1941, W.W. Lackey, 1941 to 1943, George A. Heath, 1943 to 1954, Frank Monroe, acting, 1954 to 1955, William M. Hadley, 1955 to 1968, Harold H. Hitt, 1968 to 1982, James H. Maley, 1982 to 2001, Joseph P. Baresi, Jr., 2001 to 2006, Robert E. Nix, 2006 to 2010, Sylvester Perez, 2010 to 2016, Ryder Warren, 2017 to Orlando Riddick. Note, Rod Schroeder served as the interim superintendent from September 2016 to June 2017. Key dates in Orlando Riddick's tenure. May 8, 2017, Midland ISD Board picks Orlando Riddick, the superintendent at Cedar Hill ISD, as the lone finalist for the superintendent position. February 12, 2018, the Midland ISD Board approved a District of Innovation plan that would allow flexibility with operations. First District of Innovation exemptions dealt with class size, the start date on the school calendar, and the length of the school day. October 15, 2018, a Midland ISD Facility Master Planning Committee presents a plan to the board that calls for a $545.8 million bond election in as early as May 2019 and more than $910 million in total projects over the next decade. 2018 to 2019 school year, Midland ISD's student population increased to 26,183. That number would increase to 26,319 in the 2019-2020 school year. August 11, 2019, The district recorded a perfect score of 100 in its financial accountability rating, according to the Texas Education Agency. 2 years earlier, the district had received a C. It was the first of two perfect scores and the second of three straight A ratings from the TEA. August 14, 2019, Young Women's Leadership Academy opened in Midland. It was the first all-girls school and the first in-district partnership with an out-of-district operator, the Young Women's Preparatory Network. In 2020, Midland ISD signed deals with IDEA Public Schools and Third Future Schools to take over failing campuses, beginning in August 2020. IDEA Travis Academy and Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory Academy opened this month. August 16, 2019, the Texas Education Agency reported that 9 Midland ISD campuses received failing grades for the 2018-2019 school year. That was 5 more than in 2018, when the district had 4, the low mark during Riddick's 3 years at MISD. August 19, 2019, Midland ISD Board approves placing a $569 million bond recommendation on the ballot for the November 5 election. November 5, 2019, the $569 million bond failed at the ballot box by 26 votes. The ensuing drama, which included recounts, canvassing of incomplete results, and a lost ballot box, lasted for a couple of months. May 13, 2020, Midland ISD superintendent tells the board during a workshop he wants to see the salary for a starting teacher reach $60,000 and hourly pay for staff members climb to a minimum of $15 an hour. The board approved a budget for the 2020-2021 school year that included a $3,000 increase for starting teachers that pushed the salary to $56,500. That starting pay was $49,050 when Riddick arrived in Midland. May 18, 2020, Midland ISD hired Lisa Goodnow as the district's next chief academic officer and Kelly Spencer as the chief operations officer. Riddick had created positions for or hired new employees for all 8 positions at the top of the district's administrative professional pay plan. June 10, 2020, a majority of the MISD board members voted to keep the already approved school calendar in place for the 2020-2021 school year. District staff had pushed hard in the time leading up to the vote and during the meeting to go with what was called an intersessional calendar. It was a high-profile vote against the staff initiative. August 17, 2020, the Midland ISD board meets in executive session for about 4 hours. The discussion included the evaluation of the superintendent. It was announced afterward that the superintendent's contract wouldn't be extended another year and that board members would meet Friday to continue the evaluation discussion. August 21, 2020, the Midland ISD board took a step toward parting ways with Superintendent Orlando Riddick, ending his 3 years with the district. Commentary. MISD board made the right decision. By Stuart Doreen. S. Doreen at HurstNP.com. The Midland ISD Board of Trustees sent shockwaves through the public school community Friday with the decision to begin the termination process with Superintendent Orlando Riddick. Some people will see this news as a reason to celebrate, but we hope that all Midlanders realize that this decision is a reminder that our education system is greater than any one person. We have an unbelievably tough task ahead of us. In the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, a school district needing to focus on academic improvement must find a new leader. But we can and will get through this. The school board members have been on their game during the last few months, and the decision they made Friday is proof they don't intend to just take the easy road. And make no mistake, the easy thing would have been to keep the superintendent around. This school board and community leaders have told us that an academic achievement rebirth in Midland would not happen overnight. The board is playing the long game, and with that being the case, this move was the absolutely correct one. I wrote in Friday's edition that the right result that could come from any superintendent's evaluation is this: he or she is clear about the board's expectations when it comes to academic achievement, school and student safety, positive employee outcomes, and satisfactory communication with the community. If that person can't come to agreement with the board, then maybe there is reason for additional conversation. I also wrote that, should there really be an issue, what Midlanders should want, even more than a particular outcome, is that the board acts proactively, decisively, and does what is best for education in Midland. Would it have been great if things had gone swimmingly? Of course. Would life be easier if the district had avoided a change in leadership? No doubt. Do we hate the possibility of separation agreements that require payouts based on contract language? Absolutely. But what is the price people will pay for an exemplary school district? For all of the strengths of the superintendent, it would be difficult to see him leading this district to exemplary status, and an A-plus public school district should be this community's goal. Say what you want about the current school board, but on Friday, trustees represented Midlanders for an outcome that will be better for education in Midland. Midland unemployment steady at 9.4%. By Mella McEwen. mmcewen at mrt.com. Midland's unemployment continues to trend lower, recording a second monthly decline as the rate retreats from its high of 12.6% recorded in May. The Texas Workforce Commission said Friday that unemployment in its Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area, which includes Midland and Martin counties, dipped to 9.4% in July from 9.5% in June. That remains far above the July 2019 unemployment rate of 2.2%. Indicating a stable labor market, Midland's civilian labor force grew by 150 from June to July. Supporting the market was the fact that about 250 residents joined the ranks of the employed, while the number of unemployed residents shrank to about 100. To illustrate how impacted Midland's labor market has been by the twin blows of the COVID-19 pandemic and the economic woes of the dominant oil and gas industry, Midland's labor force remains almost 9,000 below year-ago levels. While the number of employed has shriveled by 16,000, and the number of unemployed is up by 7,100. Though Midland's unemployment rate continues to decline, the tall city still shed 1,200 total non-farm jobs from June to July and has shed 17,000 jobs since July 2019, a decline rate of 14.6%. Job losses have been heavy in the mining, logging, and construction sector, which includes the oil and gas industry, the trade, transportation, and utility sector, and the leisure and hospitality sector. Odessa, too, has been impacted by the pandemic and oil and gas industry downturn. While Odessa reported an unemployment rate decline similar to Midland, dipping to 12.6% from 12.7% in June, the city recorded the state's highest unemployment for a second consecutive month. Want to know more? An expanded version of the story will appear in Sunday's edition. Active drilling. U.S. rig count up by 10. Permian also gains 10 rigs. By Mella McEwen. mmcewen at mrt.com. After more than 20 weeks of declines and 14 record lows, the U.S. rig count rose this week, according to oil field service company Baker Hughes. The nation's rig count rose by 10 to 254, still 647 rigs below the 887 tallied this time last year. The count has fallen over 60% since mid-March, the Houston Chronicle reports, as the COVID-19 pandemic closed economies around the globe, sending crude oil demand plunging, taking prices along for the ride. At the same time, Russia and Saudi Arabia embarked on a short-lived battle for market share that sent supplies climbing until the two nations, along with members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and other producing nations, agreed to cut production by 10 million barrels a day. They were joined by Permian Basin producers, who quickly shut in production and halted drilling operations. Amid plunging commodity prices, drilling for oil also rebounded, rising 11 to 183 rigs, while the number of rigs drilling for natural gas dipped one rig to 69. After threatening to fall below 100, the Texas rig count rose by 8 to 108, but is 338 rigs below the 446 at work within the state last year. Texas's western neighbor, New Mexico, added 2 rigs for a total of 47 for the week. The Permian Basin, home to half the nation's active drilling rigs, added 10 rigs to 127 for the week. The region's rig count remains well below year-ago levels, when 434 rigs were at work, a drop of 307 rigs. Eddy County, New Mexico, remains the most active in the Permian with 27 rigs, up 1 from last week. Martin County followed with 21 rigs, up 1 from the previous week. Lee County, New Mexico, also added a rig, putting 20 rigs to work within county lines. Loving and Midland counties each reported 13 rigs for the week, unchanged for Loving County and 2 additional rigs for Midland County. Crockett County saw renewed activity this week, adding 1 rig. Elsewhere in Texas, the Eagle Ford Play has 9 rigs, down 2 for the week, and the Haynesville was unchanged with 32 rigs. Somewhere out there. Families can choose Dome Show during Planetarium's private visits. Story and photos by J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. Families will get to choose their own private Dome Show when they reserve a time to visit Blakemore Planetarium. Households can reserve an hour block of time for up to 8 people. Attendees can also interact with the Simrex Science on a Sphere. Masks are required and the planetarium will be cleaned between each visit. The reserved time is free for Museum of the Southwest members. Tickets for non-museum members are $30 per household. To see the Dome Show list or to reserve a spot, go to museumsw.org. Supply kits. The museum has created art and science supply kits that families can check out. The kits are a supplemental resource for students who might not have materials at home. The kits will be available at the Blakemore Planetarium for specially curated art and science kits, featuring a new technique every month. The kits can be used by themselves or along with the museum's online programming. The kits can be kept for a week and then returned. For more information about the kits or online programming, visit the museum's website. The Museum of the Southwest has opened the Blakemore Planetarium to household visits for private Dome Shows and viewings of the Science on a Sphere installation. Tyler Heineman from Left, Piper Poe, Amanda Poe, and Caleb Stone take a tour Monday at Blakemore Planetarium. MISD, Reentry Changes to be Announced Next Week, by Stuart Doreen. sdoreen@hearstnp.com. Midland ISD will move forward with bringing students on campus before the end of the 4 weeks of at-home learning originally scheduled for its student population. Midland ISD Chief of Staff Katie Atkins told the Reporter-Telegram on Thursday night that the decision has been made not to wait until the end of the 4 weeks and leadership wants to move forward. This change of plans has been talked about, including at Monday school board meeting, and Atkins said details are being worked on currently. She expects campus leaders, teachers, staff, and school board members to hear the details no later than Tuesday. After Tuesday, those plans will be communicated to the public. Atkins said it will be important for parents and teachers to have plenty of time to react to any changes announced next week. Atkins said health metrics have changed since the August 3 announcement about reentry. She said the landscape is more favorable to bringing students back in buildings. Midland Health Department officials showed Thursday that the number of new coronavirus cases are still on pace for the lowest week in about 2 months. Midland Health officials also said during a media briefing that hospitalizations are down. When students are able to return to campus, there will be a group on campus 5 full days a week. Students in pre-K through second grade, students in life skills classes, and special education students. Other students would be phased in to experience a blended learning model that splits students into groups. One group would be on campus one day, while the other participates in virtual learning. The roles would be reversed the next day. Atkins said the central office is still building out the plan. Midland ISD's online academy will still be available for students and families who want that 100% virtual option, she said. This is going to allow families to have choice, Atkins said. Katie Joyner, who created a petition to bring students back to campus, wrote Thursday, I am thrilled to say that students will be phasing back onto campus before the end of our virtual 4 weeks. Atkins also clarified that MISD is not seeking the second waiver for an additional 4 weeks of distance learning. Crude Prices Retreat from 5-Month High by Mella McEwen. M. McEwen at MRT.com. Crude prices, which had reached 5-month highs above $42 a barrel, eked out a narrow increase this week, as gains were undercut by concerns about continued weakness in global economies and renewed spread of COVID-19. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange dropped 1.1% Friday, when October became the new near-month contract, to $42.34 a barrel, a decline of 48 cents. That cut the weekly gain to just under 1%, still a third consecutive weekly gain. After holding steady at $42.89 a barrel, prices inched up to $42.93 a barrel before ending the week with two consecutive days of declines. The posted price ended the week at $38.75 a barrel. Natural gas prices on the NYMEX also ended the week higher, gaining almost 10 cents to close at $2.448 per MCF, up from $2.339 at Monday's close. Friday's gain wiped out the 7-cent decline prices saw Thursday. Producers can take some hope from the American Petroleum Institute's most recent monthly statistical report, which indicates markets are continuing to gradually improve. The report said July inventories continue to retreat from record highs, with July marking the fourth consecutive month of year-on-year declines in crude production. U.S. crude production averaged 10.3 million barrels for July. Meanwhile, API said demand posted its third consecutive since April. Petroleum demand, led by gasoline, rose to 18.3 million barrels per day, up 700,000 barrels from June, but still down almost 21% year over year. Jet fuel deliveries posted a second consecutive monthly increase, climbing over 44% from June to July. Jet fuel deliveries have risen nearly 70% since May. AAA, Odessa has most expensive gas in entire state, by Stuart Doreen. S. Doreen at HurstNP.com. The average price of gasoline in Midland is within 10 cents of the statewide average, according to AAA Texas. The organization reported this week that Midland was one of 9 larger cities to report a price drop week over week. Drivers here are paying $1.97 a gallon, which was 10 cents more than the state average. Just 1 month ago, AAA Texas reported the difference between the average in Midland and statewide was 17 cents. Drivers in Midland are paying the third highest average among the largest 27 metropolitan areas in the state. The highest average is in Odessa, the lone larger area with a price at $2 a gallon. El Paso was second, with an average of $1.99. The only other metropolitan areas with averages at or above $1.90 were Texarkana, $1.92, and Fort Worth Arlington, $1.90. The lowest two averages were found in Amarillo, $1.78, and Lubbock, $1.80. Distributors have told the Reporter Telegram there are many complexities in the fuel business that impact pricing. They pointed to the high cost of transportation from Gulf Coast refineries and Midland's distance from pipelines. AAA Texas reported in a statement that there are 5 metropolitan areas in Texas that make the top 10 cheapest gas price averages of all U.S. cities surveyed by AAA. Also, of the top 51 U.S. metropolitan areas with the lowest gas prices, Texas cities claim nearly one-third of that list. Gas prices are holding steady as demand and supply levels moved slightly lower week to week, AAA Texas spokesman Daniel Armbruster stated in the release. Market analysts note there are concerns surrounding demand for gasoline and the impact that a resurgence of COVID-19 cases could have on the price of crude oil this fall. Across the region, other averages reported included $1.85 in San Angelo, no change week over week, and $1.87 in Abilene, a decrease of 3 cents. The price decreased by 3 cents in El Paso, 2 cents in Midland, 1 cent in Amarillo and Odessa, and increased by 1 cent in Lubbock, according to AAA Texas. Drivers in Midland are paying 58 cents less than during the same time last year. The average across the state is down 47 cents year over year. This week, Odessa, $2. El Paso, $1.99. Midland, $1.97. Texarkana, $1.92. Fort Worth, Arlington, $1.90. State average, $1.87. National average, $2.18. Last week, El Paso, $2.02. Odessa, $2.01. Midland, $1.99. Corpus Christi, $1.91. Texarkana, $1.90. Abilene, $1.90. State average, $1.87. National average, $2.17. Source, AAA Texas. Obituaries. John C. Bowes. John Charles Bowes, 86, died August 14, 2020 in Midland, following several years of declining health. He was the only child of Lucille Romans Bowes and Dayton Teal Bowes, born February 12, 1934 in Yoakum, Texas. His parents predecease him. Mr. Bowes spent his childhood in Yoakum. After graduating from Yoakum High School, he attended St. Edward's University in Austin. Mr. Bowes served in the United States Air Force, where he was stationed in Korea during the Korean conflict. He was honorably discharged in 1957 with the Korean Service Medal, rank of Airman, First Class. Mr. Bowes spent most of his adult life in the Permian Basin area, working in insurance sales and customer service. He was an active member of St. Stephen's Parish in Midland. Determined to complete his college education, he earned his BBA in management from the University of Texas Permian Basin in 1974. He married Beverly June Beard of St. Angelo in 1962. Their two children, Michael Dayton Bowes and Tracy Michelle Bowes Smith, both of Houston, survive him. Other survivors include his former wife and her husband, Beverly and David Baldwin, of Friendswood, Texas. Besides his parents, Mr. Bowes also is predeceased by Jay Smith, his son-in-law. Cremation is under the direction of Yellow Rose Cremation. No formal services are planned at this time. Rosa Lee Dawson. Rosa Lee Dawson, 91, died August 18, 2020, in Brownwood, Texas. She was born in December of 1928 in Vernon, Texas, to Dewey and Annie Scroggins. She had nine brothers and sisters who she loved dearly. She was a longtime resident of Midland, Texas. Rosa loved people. She enjoyed helping serve and cook at her local senior citizen centers. She was active with her line dancing team for many years. In her later years, she enjoyed crafting and going to local craft shows. She always had a kind word for anyone who needed one. She was happiest visiting with friends and family and telling stories. Mrs. Dawson is survived by two brothers and their spouses, Joe and Margaret Scroggins, Norman and Dorothy Scroggins, two sons and their spouses, Ernest Michael and Christine Dawson, Patrick and Lori Dawson, and three grandchildren and five great-grandchildren and two great-great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her husband, Ernest Dawson, and her son, Greg Dawson. A visitation will be held Monday, August 24, 2020, at Ellis Funeral Home, 801 Andrews Highway, Midland, Texas, from 4 to 8 p.m. A grave site service will be held on Tuesday, August 25th, at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, at 9 a.m. Donations may be sent to the American Cancer Society of Midland, Texas. Death notices. Rodrigo Robles. Rodrigo Robles passed away Wednesday, August 19, 2020. Graveside service will be held Friday, August 21, 2020, at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Cemetery. Rodrigo leaves to cherish his memories, his daughter, Lauren Thompson, son, John David Robles, and one brother. Arrangements are under the direction of Stanton Memorial Funeral Home and Chapel.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, August 22nd, 2020. Section A. Nonprofits work for Permian Basin gives. By Tony Venegas. A vision of a campaign designed to help nonprofits around the Permian Basin and Trans-Pecos regions is becoming a reality. A handful of agencies from across the area are joining forces for Permian Basin Gives, a one-day event to raise money for nonprofit agencies in order to allow them to keep operations going. The campaign officially launches at midnight, August 25th, and goes all 24 hours to help over 100 agencies that are involved in the fundraising. Lori Johnson, Executive Director of the Nonprofit Management Center, says that working together was the biggest key in getting this idea off the ground. It's an opportunity for the nonprofit sector to come together and help each other because there is strength in numbers, Johnson said. We're not all out there looking out for ourselves. Johnson added that several agencies have been negatively impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, along with the economic hit that the oil industry has taken over the last several months. Johnson and Midland Shared Spaces Executive Director Autumn Vest are part of the steering committee that helped set it up. Vest said that this was something that had been in the works for a while, and those recent events sped up getting this effort going. A lot of our agencies have seen an uptick in need, Vest said. It's really about supporting nonprofits and the community at large. There is typically a National Day of Giving after Thanksgiving to help agencies across the country as part of the kickoff to the Christmas and holiday shopping season. Vest added that some local agencies may get lost in the fold and may not benefit as much compared to a hyper-local approach. She said that having that local name recognition in the community can help motivate others to give. $5 makes a difference because when you're talking about my $5 and your $5 and all of our neighbors giving at the same time and the same day, the impact is huge, she said. Vest added that the goal was to raise $20,000 for Midland Shared Spaces as part of the cumulative goal of $788,500, according to Johnson. Several of the agencies involved will also get their donations matched by individual donations and foundations. One example is through the Abel Hanger Foundation, where Executive Director Mark Palmer said that the foundation plans to give back as much as they can for a good cause. This is an important project for both Midland and Odessa to really help stand in the gap for those in need, Palmer said. It's a great project that we're really excited to see get underway. Palmer added that out of a sample survey of 20 agencies participating in the campaign, the organizations lost $4 million in event revenue. One agency impacted by the downturn is Centers for Children and Families. Centers. Executive Director Christy Edwards said the agency lost about $400,000 in revenue from its postponed fundraiser that is usually scheduled for each September. Her goal is to also raise $20,000 for this campaign. The agency provides mental health care, therapy, and counseling to those in need across the Permian Basin. They've had to adapt to changing operations due to the pandemic. And Edwards said that the hope is that a more local approach can benefit all involved. It still gives you the opportunity to have that name recognition, she said. If someone wants to give to Centers, they can go to the website, look for Centers, and may find something else they want to donate to. Donations can be made beginning at midnight, August 25th, at https://tinyurl.com/y3foah38. A full list of nonprofit agencies involved can be found at https://tinyurl.com/y2ba3k4u. And as the start date approaches, Johnson reaffirmed how important the local nonprofit community is in the Permian Basin. The nonprofit sector in West Texas is so strong, she said. We provide so many services that affect all of our communities. They're stepping up to the plate to provide services that are all essential in different time periods of the year. To come together and support each other is a great testament to the attitudes and the will of the community. Marshall Takes on Dowling Elementary by Ruth Campbell. If optimism could lift a campus to its highest levels, Julie Marshall would be the one to do it. Marshall is the new principal at Dowling Elementary School, coming over from Hayes STEAM Academy. She's adjusting to a new, larger campus and a new staff, not to mention dealing with COVID-19. Dowling also is rated improvement required under state accountability standards, so one of Marshall's goals is to bring the campus up from that, which she fully expects to do. This campus was projected to be out of IR this school year, but when the STAR test didn't happen, we still are going to be an IR campus. But I fully expect that we'll be at least a B this year, and that we'll be an A in 3 years, Marshall said. STAR stands for the State of Texas Assessments of Academic Readiness. All those structures are in place, and the teachers are eager, Marshall said in an interview before school started. They're ready to come back to work and to do what's right by kids. We're working with an organization called Big Rock Educational Services. We had the leadership team at 3 campuses, and Dowling is one of those. We have had 3 full face-to-face days with Big Rock. What Big Rock is an educational service company. They coach the leadership team in coaching the teachers and the staff so that we can move forward and make gains. It is very powerful. I will have a coach on campus with me every Wednesday beginning the 2nd week of school. They follow you through your classroom walkthroughs, through your arrival, your transition, and they're coaching me in the moment. Oh, did you notice this? Did you address this? Make sure you do this. So as we begin coaching teachers, they'll also be right there with us on Wednesdays to not really evaluate, but to coach us as we're coaching. Like, this is a great time for you to tell the teacher this. Did you notice that this happened? This is going really well, Miss Marshall, she said. I'm really excited to have that support because I think it's just going to build my skills as a principal, and our assistant principal is in on that training, as well as our 2 instructional specialists. So it's kind of giving us a common framework of what we're going to do to meet our goals, Marshall said. She said her boss, Alicia Press, an executive director for leadership at ECISD, spoke to her in June and offered her a chance to move to Dowling from Hayes. Marshall said she asked for the weekend to think about it. She decided there was no reason to say no. It's a challenge, and I'm up for it. So I called her and said I will happily move to Dowling and fill in that spot. The support I've had moving over here is tremendous, just from the staff and the faculty, and then from Ms. Press herself. So I'm excited for this year, she said. Marshall earned a bachelor's degree in merchandising and home economics education from Texas Tech University, and a master's degree in counseling from the University of Texas Permian Basin. She went back and got an early childhood certificate, finished additional hours to get an educational leadership designation, and sit for her principal exam. She has 3 children, Andrew, 25, Mason, 23, and Karen, 21. Things she would normally do to prepare for a new school year have been curtailed by the pandemic, such as greeting the staff in person, but she met with every one of them by Zoom in July so she could get feedback on several questions. Those questions were, what things are going well at Dowling that you do not want to see changed? What is something that you would like to see improved at Dowling this year? And what do you expect of me as the leader on this campus? Marshall took notes from each meeting. She added that it gave her a lot of insight. Almost 95% of them said our staff is very hardworking. We all get along. We're a team. And so that makes me feel good coming into this year, because that's not true in every situation that you walk into. Of course, it's a little different when it's your first year in the building. You're relying a lot on the office staff and the teachers to tell you how things have gone in the past, and then trying to make adjustments for COVID, Marshall said. Last year, Dowling had 624 students enrolled in kindergarten through 5th grade. More than 100 of those students transferred from other campuses that were full, or the student's particular grade level was full. Dowling was underutilized as far as student numbers, so that was one of the campuses students were sent to. I don't know if some of those kids are going to go back to their home campus. They can stay here at Dowling if they want to. We have about 300 registered right now, so we still have lots of kids at Dowling who have not registered that we're calling, and we're trying to make contact with those parents, Marshall said. Parents can come to the campus for help signing up, but the amount of people in the building is limited due to pandemic requirements. Marshall doesn't know if some of the students who hadn't turned up yet moved out of town during the oil downturn and COVID shutdown, or if they had not registered for school or went back to their home campuses. About 400 students in grades pre-K through 5th went to Hayes. Dowling has 60 employees total, and Marshall said all of them play a role in making a school successful. For arrival and dismissal at Dowling, Marshall said there will be a lot of extra hands on duty to help students get into the building and to the right spot. I know a lot of parents, especially kindergarten parents, are very nervous because they're dropping their most precious asset off to us the first day of school, and they're not able to come into the building and hold their hand and make sure they get to their class safely. That pulls on a mama's heartstrings when you're just dropping them off at the curb. So we have plenty of people. We have a plan in place to make sure that we get all of the kids to the correct classroom, whatever phase they start in, Marshall said. The district is starting school in phases. I think the first phase is going to be a great practice to make sure that the safety protocols are all up to par. It's going to help us make sure that all the systems we have in place in the building are working well before we end up with 600 kids here, she added. Because the principal and assistant principal of Dowling became multi-classroom leaders through Opportunity Culture Program started at ECISD, Marshall hired Janie Gutierrez as her assistant principal. She is from the Valley. She has experience working in IR, improvement required campuses, and she is also bilingual, which is very important for this campus. Since I'm not bilingual, I really needed to make sure that I hired an assistant principal who could communicate with our Spanish-only speaking parents. Last year, she was an instructional specialist for the district, but she had previously in the Valley been an assistant principal, so she has that experience. She's working on her PhD. She's a very smart young lady, Marshall said. Press said Marshall has proven herself to be one of the top instructional leaders in ECISD. During the search for a new principal, I asked the Dowling community about the qualities and characteristics they wanted to see in their next leader, Press said in a text message. Overwhelmingly, they asked for someone who had high expectations of themselves and others, as well as someone who would nurture the professional and academic growth of both the students and staff in their care. Julie Marshall embodies these characteristics as well as many others. I am confident that under her leadership, Dowling Elementary will be one of the highest performing schools in ECISD. Odessa Police investigating car pedestrian fatality. Two Odessans are dead following a car pedestrian crash that occurred this morning in North Odessa. At about 6:46 a.m. Friday, Odessa police responded to 46th and Dixie in reference to a major crash. The investigation revealed that a black 2013 Chevrolet pickup being operated by Clayton Jamierson, 48, of Odessa, was traveling northbound in the 4600 block of Dixie and struck two pedestrians. The two pedestrians, identified as Analicia Ubala Franco, 20, and Hadrian Josiah Rivera, 20, had been walking in the outside lane of the 4600 block of North Dixie, not at a crosswalk. both Franco and Rivera were transported to a local hospital and later pronounced deceased by medical personnel. Next of kin were notified, and the investigation continues. Special to the Odessa American. Security Bank Ballpark is now Momentum Bank Ballpark. Name change comes as Security Bank merges with American Momentum Bank. Midland. Security Bank Ballpark, home to the Rockhounds, the AA affiliate of the Oakland Athletics, is now Momentum Bank Ballpark. The name change comes after College Station-based American Momentum Bank acquired Security Star Bank Shares, Incorporated, SSBI, the parent company of Security Bank, in February. Security Bank assumed the naming rights to the minor league baseball stadium in August 2013 under a 25-year sponsorship agreement. As part of the merger, American Momentum Bank has assumed the rights to this sponsorship and continue the relationship with the team. We are excited about the new name of the ballpark and even more excited to be working with the same team of bankers we have grown to love over the years, Monty Hoppel, general manager for the Rockhounds, said. The team has a great relationship with the bank, and we are looking forward to continuing that and welcoming our fans back to the stadium for the 2021 minor league baseball season. Security Bank customers will be pleased to find that the merger with American Momentum Bank has only strengthened our ability to deliver sophisticated banking services and a personalized approach to customers in West Texas, Jared Thomas, West Texas president of American Momentum Bank, said. Outstanding customer service and playing a positive role in our community remains our top priority, and we look forward to welcoming the Midland and surrounding community to Momentum Bank Ballpark next year. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the 2020 minor league baseball season was canceled. The Rockhounds will resume their regular season schedule in 2021. For more information, visit www.americanmomentum.bank. Golf Tournament Benefit. Pioneer Natural Resources will present the CASA for Kids Golf Tournament benefiting CASA of West Texas, September 18th at Ranchland Hills Golf Club, 1600 East Wadley in Midland. Shotgun starts at 8:30 a.m. A four-person scramble is $600 per team. Sponsorship opportunities are available. All sponsorships are tax deductible. Checks may be mailed to 1611 West Texas, Midland 79701. To register or for more information, call 683-1114 or visit casawtx.org. Local and State News Roundup. Four women charged during prostitution sting. The Odessa Police Department arrested four women during a prostitution sting as they all reportedly used the same room at the same hotel. Kiana Monique Hallman, 18, Alexis Monique Portillo, 20, Jacadre Monique Moore, 25, and Octavio Unique Powell, 21, were each charged with prostitution, a Class B misdemeanor. Moore also had an outstanding warrant for assault, a Class A misdemeanor, from November 3, 2018. She also had a motion to revoke probation for theft of property with two or more previous convictions, a state jail felony, from Midland County. All four women were arrested and charged Thursday at the MCM Grande Fun Dome as undercover detectives contacted ads under the dating section of skipthegames.com, multiple Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed. The women all reportedly agreed to have sex with fees ranging from $160 to $280. Holman, Portillo, and Powell were booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Thursday. Each one had a bond totaling $500 and posted bail Thursday, jail records show. Moore has three bonds totaling $12,000 and was still in custody as of Friday afternoon. OPD searching for burglary suspect. The Odessa Police Department is asking for help identifying a suspect who reportedly burglarized a 2018 Chevrolet work van, stole a credit card, and $6,925 worth of tools. OPD responded to a call regarding the burglary at 7:42 a.m. August 10th in the 11,000 block of East 55th, an OPD report detailed. The suspect shown on camera reportedly used the victim's credit card at Home Depot. The suspect's picture can be located at tinyurl.com/YXNXYKU6. Anyone who recognizes the suspect can contact Detective S. Alafchian at 432-331-2045 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 20-0013996.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.